It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. People around Wisconsin are working to remove housing covenants from the 1940s and earlier that restricted Black and Jewish people from living in certain houses. The covenants officially became illegal to enforce as of 1968, but they're still written into some deeds today. Advocates say even though they can't be practiced, they can still cause harm. Margaret Arney is a common council member in Wauwatosa. She consults for the African American Leadership Alliance, Milwaukee, and coordinates the African American Leadership Program. Alderperson Arney, thanks for joining us today. And Anne,
I'm glad to be here.
And Anne Bonds is with us, associate professor and associate chair of geography and affiliate faculty of the Urban Studies Program at UW-Milwaukee. She's the co-director of UW-Milwaukee's Mapping Racism and Resistance Project. Anne, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to join you today.
And can you start by talking about what covenants were and why they were written into housing deeds in the first place?
Yep. Racial covenants were inserted into property records in the early part of the 20th century for segregationist purposes. And you noted that they were from the 1940s and earlier, but we have evidence of covenants that were actually inserted into property records well after 1940, into the 50s, even 1962. That's the latest one we found. But these covenants were legally enforceable, as you know, really up until 1948 in a Supreme Court ruling, that essentially made them not illegal to include in property records, but non-enforceable. But it wasn't until 1968 that they were actually found to be unconstitutional, not included in property records at all. So these were a really powerful mechanism for sustaining racial segregation of neighborhoods. They were often applied by real estate agents or property owners or developers as new subdivisions were being built. We see them all across Milwaukee County, including its surrounding suburbs and in the city of Milwaukee itself.
And Alderperson Arney, people might be surprised to hear, I was kind of surprised to hear, these actually are still on property deeds. What do you see when you look around Wauwatosa and beyond?
Well, yes, because deeds travel with the property, that's why especially if people have older homes that have been through multiple transactions, there's no way in the law right now to go back and actually redact or take away the language. So it can be quite alarming. And they were very common. And that's something that I think people don't really understand, is that this was not like a couple of people or a couple of places that decided this individually. This was very much a systemic issue, because people who were building the new subdivisions had ideas in their head about what would create a community of high value. And so high value communities excluded people who had lower or considered undesirable characteristics, especially being Jewish or being Black. And they were very, very explicit. The language of these covenants is shockingly explicit compared to the very veiled kind of racialized language or dog whistle type language we have now. Oh no, it was real clear.
Right. I've read some examples, Alderperson Arney, like literally they say you can't sell this house to a Black or Jewish person, or you can't sell this house to anyone other than a white American citizen.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
It was actually beyond even sale and ownership. It was occupancy. Mm. Like a person could not even rent there. They couldn't reside there. And I personally, I'm not sure exactly how this worked legally, but there's an overlap between communities that had these non-resident rules and also being sundown communities. If you were a person of color or a person who didn't look like a white person, a white Christian person, you were not welcome to do anything except work in the community.
And Anne, yeah, that sounds
I was just going to add to that point. Oftentimes we see it's very common for provisions to be included that say, you know, no one who is not white can, a common phrase, no one other than white, the white race can occupy said property. And then there might be a clause that comes afterwards that says something unless they're employed by the owners or the renters of said property. So you see the layers of racial discrimination that are really built into these. It's very explicit and very obvious in these deeds. There's no, as Margaret noted, there's no really kind of hiding the intention and purpose.
And we hear a lot about modern day segregation in southeastern Wisconsin, in Dane County, and elsewhere. Do these covenants form part of the map that still sticks with us in some ways today?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, they have an enduring legacy. They were one mechanism that worked in conjunction with all sorts of techniques for segregating cities along the lines of race. They had a powerful way. Not only were they legally enforceable, and those who challenged them would risk foregoing their property, but they were also very symbolic. They communicated a message, and that was their intention, that high class, as Margaret mentioned a minute ago, high class residential neighborhoods were coded as white, represented as white, and that people who were classified as non-white were represented as a threat to property values. So we see them working in conjunction with other techniques. A lot of people have heard about redlining. There's lots of discussion about redlining. Racial covenants predate redlining. And in fact, redlining maps were drawn around covenants. The FHA openly supported covenants and encouraged lending in neighborhoods with racial covenants. So these were a widely embraced tool.
And Alderperson Arnie, you are working on a program called TOSA Together, aimed at removing this language, these covenants, from deeds in your community. Can you tell us about that program and what it's going to take?
Actually, just to clarify, TOSA Together is a group of citizens that was formed in, I believe it was 2016 when we first got together. And we're about lifting up the values of belonging, justice, welcome, and creating and lifting up those values in many, many ways throughout Wauwatosa. And actually the organization, TOSA Together advocated for the establishment of the Equity and Inclusion Commission.
I see.
Which was established as part of Wauwatosa City government. Well, we're a citizen commission as part of Wauwatosa. And that commission, and I really want to say thank you again to Rosemary Fox, who just did the work to bring us the resolutions and bring us through different iterations. And that Equity and Inclusion Commission prepared the resolution, came to the Common Council, and we voted for it to move forward. So, yeah, that's how that went.
And then what's the next step for that? Because as you mentioned, it's difficult to take this language out of a deed.
Well, our city attorney, Alan Kessner, also a gold star for Alan and his work, said the best way is to change Wisconsin law to make it possible for all municipalities and all entities that issue deeds to redact this language. And so I just got off the phone with a member of the staff of Representative Robin Vining, and they have begun just, I think, yesterday to investigate with the Legislative Reference Bureau, I believe, what it would take to change Wisconsin law. And we're really grateful for the work of others, the Mapping Racism Group, particularly for bringing to our attention laws in other states that allow for this change. And I want to say something about the symbolic nature of this. This is really important about a change of mindset. I mean, our fundamental ideas about how the world works have changed. The founders of these communities that put in these restrictive covenants, they really believed that they were doing something good, and they were doing something that would secure a prosperous future. We now know that they were not correct. The MMAC put forward that our biggest economic threat to our regional prosperity is the persistence of racial disparities. So coming after this language, coming after this fundamental mindset is a big change, and I'm really glad to be part of it.
And Ann Alderperson already just mentioned that Mapping Racism and Resistance project. In our last minute or so, can you tell us a bit about what you're working on there?
Yes, our project is a project to document all racial covenants in Milwaukee County, and we will map them. This is a huge undertaking. It's really important to note that we're in the process of discovering right now, we don't even know how many of these exist. Because these are deeply embedded in property records, it's difficult to know. And so we're in the process right now. What we've done is we've used a system working with our collaborators, Mapping Prejudice in Minneapolis, to get all of the property records from 1910 to 1960 in Milwaukee County. And then from that, we use optical character recognition to kind of turn these, to read the text and to identify racial language. Through that, we then have a collated set of about 20,000 records that we're now working with volunteers throughout Milwaukee County to identify and transcribe the covenants. So we're right now in the process of working together collaboratively with the community to really find out how much of the land in Milwaukee County was covered with racial covenants. And then, you know, once we have this data set, we can really start to understand more about the enduring legacies and impacts of these covenants, the role that they played in shaping the racial geography of Milwaukee County.
We'll leave it there. Ann, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Alderperson Arney, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I also want to lift up that racial and religious discrimination. So we want to acknowledge the discrimination against folks that were non-Christian as well. So, and thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Margaret Arney, Common Council member in Wauwatosa, who consults for the African American Leadership Alliance Milwaukee and coordinates the African American Leadership Program, and Ann Bonds, Associate Professor of Geography, who's part of the Mapping Racism and Resisting Project at UW-Milwaukee. We've been looking at the history of housing covenants in Wisconsin and efforts to remove them from official documents.